Have you ever wondered what Amsterdam is all about? Don't just read about the culture that has accepted cannabis. Experience it firsthand with CS Travel's Sensible Amsterdam Tour with Normal. Travel to one of Europe's most beautiful cities this January for an educational and recreational visit to a city that regulates cannabis like alcohol. CS Travel has arranged an exclusive visit for reform-minded Americans that includes a private tour of some of Amsterdam's most renowned coffee shops, educational seminars with coffee shop proprietors, local law enforcement, members of the Cannabis Retailers Association, and Normal staff. Entertainment includes a special evening at the Boom Chicago Comedy Club, canal tours, visits to the city's many museums, including the world-famous Van Gogh Museum. Don't just wonder about Amsterdam, experience the beauty and freedom of this unique city firsthand with CS Travel and Normal Sensible Amsterdam Tour. Pricing information is available online at coffeeshoptravel.com. That's coffeeshoptravel.com. Or call toll-free at 800-816-1846. That's 800-816-1846. Be a sensible American. Visit Amsterdam with CS Travel and Normal this January. Call 1-800-816-1846 right now to book your trip. More information is available at normal.org. Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back here to the Audio Stash. Today, it's Friday, November 23rd. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us here today. Help us end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit NORML.org to make your donation or join Normal today. What a great gift to give all of the country. What a great positive contribution to all of America to help us end marijuana prohibition. So consider Normal in your end of year or holiday giving this year. You can find out more about how to donate again at normal.org. We had a little technical difficulty yesterday for our Thanksgiving show, so we're melding it in to our Friday show today. Sort of a mixed stash today, but a jam-packed stash as well. We got some great music, some great comedy, and some great interviews here today. We'll speak with Paul Armentano, Normal Senior Policy Analyst, about an important new study having to do with the drug Sativex. That's a natural cannabis extract. And also today, we'll have our sit-down interviews with Big B and Johnny Richter. Johnny Richter, of course, member of the Cottonmouth Kings. Big B, solo talent there on the Suburban Noise record label. We interviewed them at the TLA on South Street in Philadelphia last Sunday. We got some Big B and Cottonmouth Kings music for you today. And also today, we get a chance to check back in with Bernie Ellis out there in Tennessee. So that was going to air yesterday during our Thanksgiving show. We're going to get it airing today. One thing we will miss out on today, our CelebStoner.com update, a regular segment here on Fridays. We'll be back with new segments next week. Make sure you also download our weekly Normal News audio podcast. Stories this week in Normal News: Pod Compound may offer non-toxic alternative to chemotherapy, and decriminalizing pot will reduce prison population, have no adverse impact on public safety, new study says. Those stories in the Normal News weekly press release and audio podcast, you can link up to those right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Let's start off our show today by speaking with Normal's senior policy analyst, Paul Armentano. Joining us today to discuss a very important new medical study is Normal's senior policy analyst, Paul Armentano. Paul, welcome back here to the Audio Stash today.
Good to be here, Chris.
Thanks again for joining us today, Paul. Let's talk about this story. It originally came out in the Normal News press release, Cannabis Spray Effective Long-Term in Pain Treatment, study says. Now, this study looked at Sativex. It's a natural cannabis spray that delivers set doses of THC and CBD. Now, we've discussed Sativex in depth here on the program. So, Paul, why is this study dealing with Sativex so important?
Well, this trial is important because it is a long-term trial. The data that they published on the patients in this trial have now been taking Sativex daily for a period of 2 years. And what's really interesting is that patients over the term of this trial have actually lowered their daily dosage of the drug, yet they have maintained the same levels of relief that were observed at the end of the initial 5-week trial. So what we're seeing here is that these patients are not developing a tolerance to the therapeutic or analgesic effects of the drug. And in fact, what also may be happening is that their regular use of this drug may be in some ways moderating the progression of their disease. As we know, multiple sclerosis is a chronic degenerative disease. These patients' condition should be getting worse over time. And that should persuade them to be using larger doses to maintain the same levels of relief. We don't see that happening here, at least over a period of 2 years. And I think that is very exciting information.
Now, one of the things debated about Sativex is that it can cause the euphoria effect associated with inhaled cannabis. Is that correct?
Certainly, if one was to use a large enough dose of Sativex, they would feel some euphoria and or dysphoria. The key among many of the people that use it is actually trying to find a dose that gives them the therapeutic effects without giving them the euphoric effects. And clearly for many patients, they can find that dose. Because Sativex is an almost one-to-one ratio of THC, which is psychoactive, and CBD, which is not psychoactive, the theory goes that in low doses, the drug is not nearly as euphoric as would be cannabis that most typically contains a very high ratio of THC to a very low ratio of CBD.
Now, Sativex is available on a limited basis in Canada, the UK, and Spain. Does Sativex work more like inhaled cannabis or more like edible preparations?
Sativex is not approved in the UK. It has a very limited regulatory approval in Britain, where doctors are allowed to import Sativex from Canada back into the UK. Sativex is legal by prescription in Canada for patients with multiple sclerosis and patients suffering from cancer pain. And you are correct, on a limited basis in Spain, Sativex also may be imported and prescribed. Getting back to the latter question regarding Sativex versus edible cannabis, clearly the onset of therapeutic effects with Sativex would be quicker. Because it is an oral spray, it does not take effect as quickly as smoking cannabis would, but it certainly would take effect much more quickly than eating cannabis. would take effect. In general, my understanding is there's about a 20 to 30 minute delayed onset when someone sprays Sativex before they begin feeling relief. That would be compared to a delayed onset if one was to, you know, consume a cannabis edible. The onset could be anywhere from 45 minutes to almost 2 hours.
About these patients not using other pain drugs, is this the first trial, Paul, that has shown that when cannabis is used to treat pain, patients can actually wean themselves off of more toxic pain management medications?
Well, there's actually quite a bit of survey data that does illustrate that patients who use cannabis as a medicine often are not using nearly the number of alternative pharmaceutical drugs as are patients who are not using cannabis. What was interesting in this trial was that while these individuals were in this extension period, they were able to use any alternative pharmaceutical they would like. And the researchers did keep data on patients' use of other analgesics. And what they expected to find was that over the course of this trial, many patients would either increase their dosage of alternative pain medications, or they would certainly at least experiment with a number of new pain medications. That did not typically happen. For the most part, patients either maintained the same pain regimen they were on prior to the trial, or they actually weaned themselves off a number of pain medications that they had previously been on. Once again, implying that Sativex worked long-term as an adequate pain reliever to manage these individuals' pain. Just to be a little more specific, what patients were asked to do at the beginning of this trial was to rate their MS-associated pain on a scale of 1 to 11. And at the beginning of the trial, on average, patients rated their pain between about 6 and 7 on this 1 to 11 point scale, with 11 being the highest degree of pain, 0 being no pain. At the end of the initial 5-week trial, on average, patients reported that their pain had been reduced from about a 6.5-point rating to a rating of about 4.5. At the end of this 2-year period, the patients that continued to maintain using Sativex daily in this trial, their pain scores actually had dipped below 4. So we see this long-term pain relief among this patient population, and we don't see them using or increasing their dose of other pain medications.
And Paul, because Sativex has been created as a drug to be marketed in the modern drug and pharmaceutical world, the Western medical marketplace, and it has been used by some patients for quite some time now safely, will Sativex be a new realm of medical cannabis available to the public, do you think?
I think it already has been. I mean, as you know, there has been some rapid market approval of this drug in Canada, certainly compared to other countries, whether it's the UK or the European Union. And I do think that there is a strong body of data out there, and that body of data is growing, in support of the safety and efficacy of Sativex. So I personally feel that were politics not in play here, this drug would have already been approved also in Europe and also in the European Union. And I do think eventually that will happen. I think that it will probably happen within the next few years. I'm not nearly as positive that Sativex will receive U.S. approval anytime soon, because my assumption would be that the U.S. is going to demand quite a bit of additional data before taking a stance on the safety or efficacy of Sativex. And as far as my understanding goes, I believe that the makers of Sativex are really just now in the beginning stages of trying to recruit patients in America for clinical trials of the drug. And it will still take quite some time after those trials are completed before U.S. regulators make any decision about a drug like this.
Paul, this drug, Sativex, and some other medical research lately have really shown astounding amounts of promise for real treatments for very difficult medical conditions. Are you surprised that this research doesn't get more mainstream media coverage?
Yes, I'm always amazed by the lack of mainstream media play for studies like this. You know, this one in particular, like I said, while we can look at the study and make some clear-cut findings that patients are continuing to maintain their pain relief, that they're not growing tolerant to the drug, those findings alone are newsworthy. But then when you look at what the further implications could be, this possibility that cannabinoids may actually be moderating the progression of some of these, long-term neurodegenerative diseases, whether it be a disease like MS or a disease like Lou Gehrig's disease or Alzheimer's, the fact is that we do not have modern mainstream treatment regimens to alter the course of these deadly diseases, and it's apparent that cannabis may offer potential in doing that, and it shocks me that this potential is not a bigger story than it is.
Righto, Paul. Paul, thank you again for joining us here today. I really appreciate you joining us to discuss this story. This kind of medical research is something we can all be thankful for out there.
It certainly does seem that way.
And thanks again for joining us, Paul. Paul Armentano is Normal's Senior Policy Analyst. He's author of the informational booklet, Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids. You can download that booklet online. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. We have links to the story we discussed today as well, right up on our website.
I was raised in the North, but I got Southern down in my soul.
Next up, joining us today is Bernie Ellis from Tennessee. We've been checking in with Bernie about the medical marijuana program in Tennessee, which might be reinstated. He was testifying before the legislature there last week. We're going to check in more in general with Bernie today. Last year we covered a benefit concert that was held for Bernie to try and stop the federal government from seizing his farm there in Tennessee. But this Thanksgiving season, it's great to speak with such an optimistic and hardworking activist out there. Bernie, welcome back here to the program today.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be with you.
Great to speak with you today, Bernie. Now, first I want to catch up a little bit. We covered that Nashville benefit concert that was broadcast live on local radio there. So let me ask, where is your case right now? How is everything going?
Well, there's been no new activity since I was released in May. The civil asset forfeiture case is still active, though there's not been any movement on it one way or the other. I'm about halfway through my a four-year probation sentence on the criminal charges. We have filed a motion with our judge to suspend the remainder of the probation sentence based on recommendations from my probation officer, but we have not heard back from the judge at this point.
And how did that benefit concert work out for you? Did it raise awareness?
Well, we were really pleased to sell out the Belcourt Theater. We had four excellent musical groups perform, and definitely helped in my continuing payments to the bank to cover the loans I had to take out for my legal expenses. So beyond the fundraising aspects of the benefit, I think the consciousness-raising aspects were 100-fold and really generated some both awareness and support, I think, beginning here in Nashville and then radiating out across the country.
And Bernie, you spent many years as a public health professional. Now that you've been released, what are you working on now, both as an activist and in your career?
Well, my career is continuing to be in limbo. Fortunately, I applied to be reemployed as an epidemiologist by the Tennessee Department of Health, and despite my criminal conviction, I am ranked third on the epidemiologist register out of about 100 candidates. So I've interviewed for one position and am expecting to be interviewed shortly for another position. And as long as I'm on probation, I'm essentially limited to working just here in the middle section of Tennessee. I can't travel freely nor relocate to another state without the court's permission. So as far as activism goes, I'm obviously very supportive and active in my support for our state legislature passing a law to reestablish our state's medical marijuana program. I'm also continuing to be very active around the issue of election integrity. I really want to salute the Berkeley, California activist who brought attention to how insecure and unreliable their election process was for changing some of the requirements locally there for their medical marijuana program. Their insistence that the votes appeared to have been manipulated has resulted in a recent a judge's decision demanding that their local referendum be revoted. And that activism has not only had an impact on how the Berkeley Medical Marijuana Program will go forward, but also has brought attention to how insecure our elections are nationwide. So it's interesting, and I'm thankful that those two areas of activist concern for me, free, fair, and verifiable elections and expanding access to medical marijuana have overlapped both in Berkeley and across the country.
Also, Bernie, let's talk more about medical marijuana in Tennessee. You were testifying last week to try and reinstate that medical marijuana program there. Should that program come back online, what would it look like and how would it work?
Well, I think it will be similar to programs in other states in that our law specifies a series of conditions, medical conditions that would qualify patients for the program. Our law, though, I think has evolved to both expand the number of plants and the amount of dry, usable medicine that patients could have in their possession, codifies that physicians have flexibility in identifying serious and debilitating diseases and conditions that in the physician's mind would allow a patient to qualify for the program. One thing that I really like about our Tennessee law is that we have put in our own law a language similar to what just passed in New Mexico that would allow the state to implement and administer a cannabis production capability at the state level that would allow patients immediate access to medicine once they qualify for the program, rather than having to wait literally months to grow useful medicine on their own or through a caregiver. So I think our law does reflect an evolution in the thinking about what a useful state-level medical marijuana program should look like.
Now, we've talked about the sentiment of local legislators. How about that sentiment of regular Tennesseans? Your benefit concert sold out the theater there, so it seems like there is a lot of interest in this issue on the ground.
Well, we've not done any systematic polling, but I think if you look at the reaction to the media attention given to my case and to the benefit back in April and May, there was virtually no negative sentiment for either my own circumstance or for the general issue of medical marijuana in response to the widespread television, radio, and newspaper coverage for my case. I followed up with the reporters who worked with me, and to a person, they said that the feedback they got from their audiences was universally positive, again, both for my case and for reestablishing a state program. There has been media coverage this week to around the hearing, the four-hour hearing Tuesday morning, and our local NBC affiliate in Nashville has put, with their story, has put an online poll up online, and that poll has run consistently 4-1 in favor of reestablishing a medical marijuana program here in Tennessee. So I think that kind of result we see whenever we poll the public on this issue. 3-1 support, 4-1 support is a pretty common finding whenever we poll the American public on this issue.
And so do you think that reform in Tennessee is going to happen soon?
Well, you know, I don't think any effort to reinstate common sense and compassion when it comes to medical marijuana is going to be an easy effort anywhere in the country. But the fact that 12 states have implemented programs, the fact that 20 other states are actively considering establishing or reestablishing medical marijuana programs, the fact that, you know, the recent DEA administrative law judge decision supporting Dr. Lyle Craker's petition to grow and study medical marijuana there at the University of Massachusetts. I think all of these efforts underway nationally reflect, I hope, an inevitable decision on the part of the American people that making marijuana, and particularly medical marijuana, illegal 70 years ago was a serious mistake, and it's one that we're long overdue to correct. I am encouraged that there is the kind of broad-based grassroots support throughout the country. I do think we're going to wake up from this nightmare sometime real soon.
All right, Bernie. Well, many thanks for joining us here today. It's always great to speak with you here on the program.
Well, Chris, thanks again for this opportunity. I just want to remind everyone out there that when it comes to medical marijuana activism, we are the ones we've been waiting for. There's no need to wait on anyone else besides ourselves to work to change these laws. And if we never stop working, we will not lose. So thanks again, Chris, and let's all keep working hard on this.
Bernie Ellis there in Tennessee, and a true inspiration. Great to have him here on our program during Thanksgiving week. Bernie has certainly been through a lot, but it hasn't held him back at all, and it certainly has not made him waver in his activism work out there. And again, a true inspiration, Bernie Ellis here on the program. We have links for more information about Bernie right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Coming up next are sit-down interviews with Big B of Suburban Noise Records and Johnny Richter of the Cottonmouth Kings.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, 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 my friend. Come right in. Say whatever you feel. Make concerts, do concerts. So make yourself at home and go ahead and chill. There's nothing better than kicking it with some good friends. Relaxing and partying. Yo, turn it up. That's a sweet jam. Sometimes you gotta relax your mind.
Few musical groups and touring acts have been as stony and upfront about marijuana as the Cottonmouth Kings and their fellow artists on the Suburban Noise record label. Last Sunday, the Subnoise talent arrived in Philadelphia for a show at the TLA on South Street. Above the record label banners on stage, there were two huge joints, puffing smoke out of the ends. The first acts up on stage were Dirtball and then Big B. Those two get things moving with a kind of high-energy crossover rap and hip-hop that Suburban Noise Records is known for finding deep underground. Big B is brutally honest about his life and situation, molding that truthfulness with a gritty voice and a celebration of some fun and his upfront delivery. Here's Big B featuring Dirtball off his More to Hate album. This track is called It's All Good. Featuring Dirtball with It's All Good. We have links to Big B at Suburban Noise Records, run up at normalaudiostash.com. I got a chance to sit down with Big B backstage at the TLA in South Street right after his set.
Well, you know, for me, I grew up around it. My dad is a big advocate, you know, smokes daily, my mom. So for me, it's one of those things I just grew up with it, so it's not a big deal, you know, it's not one of those big things to me, so it kind of, I never thought about it, you know, I didn't think I was do anything bad.
What do you think, like, traveling out here to the East Coast?
for me, it's a weird deal because they're just so uptight. You know, I don't know. It's just crazy that it's still in the United States, but East Coast is definitely more uptight about it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You know, you're. It's all good, man. You know, and also, too, like, you know, being with Subnoise, a lot of people on the label upfront about marijuana, not shy about it, man. Is there, like, a culture there at Suburban Noise that that makes you feel empowered to talk about this stuff?
You know, like I said, we're just so used to it, and Brad X and the Kings are such pushers of, you know, spreading the word. They don't care if you're for it or not. They just want the word out there, mm-hmm. and you kind of make your choices, so...
You've also been on the albums, man. You've been upfront about yourself. You've been upfront sort of about your own life, where you come from. Is being on, you know, Subnoise and being with an independent label give you that freedom to really express yourself?
Yeah, for me, it's one of those things where I'm not a rapper, but I can rap. So Subnoise for me is a good outlet that I can just do what I do and talk about things I know about. So once you do that, and like for me, it's the kids relate, so it's good. You know, I have a whole fan base of people that understand. And then the people that don't understand, it's better because you just know they're never going to be fans. So it kind of weeds them out down the line.
And, you know, also, too, I mean, the fan base out here, I mean, you're getting well-known out here on the East Coast. People know exactly what's up with the albums. They're, like, shouting out lyrics to the songs. So you're getting out there in the country more. I mean, you know, what do you think about, you know, wider success and being online on the Internet?
The Internet, for me, has totally helped because I don't sell, you know, millions of records. Thousands, sometimes tens of thousands, but... the way it's spreading is just cool. And it's not just here, you know, it's Australia, Japan, Europe. It's just getting bigger and bigger. So the Internet's a big part of it, but to be all the way on the East Coast and have kids sing your song is a big deal for me, you know. To see all the kids this far away from home sing it is a big deal. Yeah. And I don't care how they got it, you know. At this point, I don't care if they stole it as long as they understand, you know, where we're coming from. So, you know, downloading everything, do what you got to do, but I'm just happy that they understand it and get it,
right,
and
on.
They embrace it.
Right on.
Because there's more to just the rap music than just, you know, the persona that's going on now.
What do you think about the live touring? I mean, is this an easy or tough gig to do?
Well, right now you can tell by the voice it's a tough gig here in the cold weather of Philly. But yeah, it's a tough gig, but the rewards of it are beneficial, you know. Home, the freedom I have to go do stuff, you know, downtime. Financially, it's starting to get better. Health-wise, like my voice right now is going out. I got to go sleep until tomorrow. Gets just that better, you know, enough to go out and do the show, and I do that. So health-wise, sometimes it beats you up, but you got to do it, man. Speak to the youth. Get them going and let them know what's going on, because if you turn on TV, there's not too many role models that are really role models, you know.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, you guys are really the success of the Cottonmouth Kings and a lot of folks on Suburban Noise, your albums included, man, it's almost becoming a mainstream success now. I mean, what do you think of that, like breaking into a wider audience out there?
I like it. You know, the biggest thing with that, when people always say that, because now I'm starting to get radio play and stuff, I'm like, you should be happy that there's a new voice out there. Something's pushing it further and doing something that's different than what's going on, you know, to change what people think. Because if we all walk in a straight line, we're all going to go to the same place, you know. So you got to kind of branch off. So I think MTV Nation stuff. And for us, it's getting bigger and bigger, and we can speak on it and do it. I always say, never sell out, you know, just cash in. And we need to cash in on this time, maybe not financially, but this time we have to speak, because it might be a short window. So if it means being, you know, more out in the open and more mainstream, we might as well do it.
You guys aren't shy about it. I mean, you're like, kids are throwing their arms in the air, talking about weed, you know, talking about getting stoned, talking about smoking pot, and people are empowered by that. It's great to see that, especially on the East Coast in Philly, man. You don't know how rare it is to see a group of people get like that out here. But do you think that, you know, do you think that that translates into reform? Do you think that young people, that this generation is going to be the one that legalizes pot?
I hope so. You know, I'd like to see it happen now, but unfortunately it hasn't, and, I hope so, but, you know, the good thing about with the Cottonmouth Kings and stuff, they give you, you know, both sides of it. It's just you're not taking advantage of the plant. They're explaining it and, you know, letting you know what it's about. It's not even the party aspects of it. It's the medical aspects and everything else of it. So financially, you know, gain.
It is cool to see the kids engage with the Cottonmouth Kings and engage in Suburban Noise all around the country, man. might be the first time ever that they were in a group of people where they felt like they could actually shout out about it instead of like hide in the closet. You know?
No, it's good. You know, you see right now with what's going on. Adults can't change what's going on, obviously. The youth is our only hope. You know, it's the future of this movement and any movement that's going on, you know, are going to go on. So the youth has always been the tool, you know, to get it out there. So hopefully, they understand and keep on pushing it on the next generation to do it.
Well, dude, many thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you letting the tracks out there from their most recent albums on the Audio Stash. We're definitely going to keep playing it out there, and it's great to see your show live here tonight. It was a great set.
Cool, man. Thank you, and thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
That was Big B. You can find him on the Suburban Noise record label. We interviewed him here last Sunday at the TLA on South Street in Philadelphia. He was there with the Cottonmouth Kings, and just after we wrapped up with Big B, Johnny Richter from the Cottonmouth Kings sat down with us for an interview. He was minutes away from having to be on stage, but he assured us he had time for an interview.
Welcome back to the Stash, man.
What's going on? How you doing?
Very good, man. Great to speak with you here tonight. Huge, you know, great showing of support here for the Cottonmouth Kings on the East Coast. You been surprised by that East Coast following you guys have been building up?
We've been building it up for almost over a decade now, so it's been pretty good out here on the East Coast for a while now. That's why we keep coming back. So, you know, a couple of times, like I think our fourth time this year coming back to Philly or something. So yeah. We definitely put in work. You know, we put in work coming out and playing all these shows, and the kids love and they come out. So, it's nothing but love out here on the East Coast. It's good.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot different from Cali, though. I mean, I was out in Los Angeles, and it's like night and day, like coming out here to Philly and New York and everything like that. I mean, what do you guys think of when you're on tour? I mean, what do you think of when you're looking out the bus window at a Philadelphia or a Jersey?
We're thinking, where's the closest cheesesteak place? Just all lit up, staring through the fog inside the bus, just like a hamster in a ball. The ball, you know, like when you're a kid and you blew smoke in that ball and let the hamster run around. Something like that. We're just sitting there, hamsters in the bus ball, waiting for the cheesesteak place.
Nice, man. Nice. I mean, a lot of these kids, they might get empowered for the first time at a Cottonmouth Kings show. They go out there, they check it out, you know, they see the kids fucking going crazy, man. And, you know, it's the first time they get empowered with marijuana. I mean, must be cool to see that and, like, activate that in kids out there.
Kids get real amped up. There's a, you know, a big stereotype that stoners just sit back and don't do anything. But if you come to a Cottonmouth Kings show, they say they're lazy and whatnot. You come to a Cottonmouth Kings show, you see a bunch of stoners going Richter off the wall, wall to wall, ceiling to floor, top to bottom. They're just going nuts. It definitely just downplays that whole stereotype that they just sit around and do nothing, because they're some of the wildest stoners that I've seen when they come out to the Cottonmouth Kings show.
Cloud Nine really has been a big success, man. It's got a lot of featured people on board with the album as well. Really listenable album. It's getting a lot of radio play out there around the country. What do you guys? What was your inspiration? You know, putting together a lot of the tracks there.
We had a lot of the tracks. You know, our process. We get the tracks from our producer, and then we go through and write to them. And the tracks kind of dictate how the record goes, how the songs go, and this is how this one turned out, was with the flow that we had. We wanted to bring back some more of the rip-hop stuff on it, and of course keep all the other elements with the hip-hop and just the pure punk rock and the more acoustic, mellow, stoner style. So yeah. We just tried to take all the elements of Cottonmouth Kings and make it a good record to put out. And as far as the people we had on it, we had Tech N9ne on a track. We had Cypress Hill, B-Real, and Sendog both on individual tracks, and we had ICP on a track. And those are just people that throughout the years a touring we've just pretty much clicked up with and hung out with, and so you know, when it came time to do the record, we just threw it out, we asked if they'd like to be on it, and everybody was weighed down and came out and helped us put together a real cool record. I think if you don't got it, Cloud Nine's in stores, go grab that. It's good.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And up on iTunes as well. You guys have always been out front with marijuana. So have a lot of the folks you work with. We talked to Sendog a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they have always been out front about marijuana, even when it wasn't popular to be out front about marijuana. This has become, not a part of the Cottonmouth Kings in a way where, like, you guys are synonymous with American marijuana right now. I mean, what's that mean for you guys to be, like, so co-associated with pot like that?
We always personally been associated with pot. Everybody who knows us from back before we did bands or anything like that, always pretty much associated with weed, because we're all big smokers. And we just pretty much took it to the next level. It's more on a national/global level now. We've been overseas a few times and stuff, spreading the word. And It's good. I definitely notice a growth in tolerance from people about it. Personally, we've opened a lot of minds like that before wouldn't even think about smoking weed. Or even if they don't smoke weed, would look down on people who do or whatever. But you get to meet a lot of people in the line of work we're in. We get to travel everywhere and meet a lot of people. And I think we definitely have changed some minds. So even if it didn't change them to where they smoke anymore, they don't really look down on it. And they understand it's more personal freedom. They see the effects of other marketable drugs out there as far as all the medications and prescriptions and that people get and all that, and the alcohol, of course, and just not having weed legal, like criminalizing weed, actually just it's ridiculous in a day and age where we're at right today that you can't just have a plant and grow it and burn it. It's pretty ridiculous. So I definitely think people's eyes are opening. There's definitely, since we started, the medical movement has started through a bunch of states. And slowly but surely, I see it just picking up speed. A lot more people burning, a lot more people coming out. They're not scared really so much to say they smoke pot anymore. Like a lot of people were a lot of closet smokers. I think that a lot of people are coming out the closet these days with burning and just like not ashamed of it as they shouldn't be. You know what I mean? I
think there's some pride out there now for pot smokers.
Yeah, for sure. As long as you know, pride is in oneself. You know what I mean? If you're a pot smoker, but you're a good person, you know, you're upstanding, whatever you do, what you do, and you get things done and you still burn, you shouldn't feel bad about that. You know what I mean?
Think, you know, you think that's it? I mean, if enough people just sort of come out on their own about it, they'll be good to go on this issue, that this would change.
I think, it's definitely going to take a lot more years for it to go. There's a lot of old people that make the laws right now, and it's going to take, I think, until people... the next generation comes up and they're the ones up in the positions making the laws and doing more of that, then I think it'll have a better chance down the line. But it's definitely doing things.
Well, you got to get going on stage, man.
We're about to go rock right now.
I appreciate it, man.
No problem.
Many thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Signing out. Smoking out. Do it!
Cottonmouth Kings, as you could hear, it literally went down this small staircase backstage directly from our interview onto the stage and into the show. Big B, Dirtball, all the members of the Cottonmouth Kings, their crew, and the Suburban Noise record label are an amazing group to watch in action. They've got a true appreciation for their fans. They perform a tough schedule, and they perform long set shows, and they keep producing consistently good albums and talent. All of them are outspoken and informed about marijuana reform. By the response they get at shows, it seems like a lot of young people are informed and motivated for change, too. Here's the Cottonmouth Kings featuring Be Real from Cypress Hill on the Cloud 9 album. This is Riding High.
Switching lanes back and forth off of strains of endo. Foot on the gas, car full of weed smoke. Laid back, smooth, let it put you in the mood. We the kings of the chronic, and this is how we do. When I bounce out, I got a pocket full of weed. So sick, double dance, burning trees. Seat cocked back, got my shit bumping. Stop at the liquor store to get a little something. Pick a 12 pack, up a couple of blunts. Go back to the crib, now it's time to get drunk. Call my girl up, cause I need a little love. Roll another blunt, let the smoke float above.
On a Sunday afternoon, just washing my car. Getting me ready for the night and the boulevard. Polishing all the chrome and shining up the tire. Smoking joint after joint, I couldn't get no higher. I keep a mini bottle chilling in my cup.
like me. Kush smoking rebel full of THC. One hit, two hit, three hit, four. Then five more hits from my 8 foot roll. Then roll that shit up and hit it and pass it around. Don't hog it up or we take it away and put you down. You wanna medicate, meditate. We're known for hitting the bones, bloods, and the vapor rate. We ride high with the endless supply because we ride or die and put the red in your eyes. We sack it up in 3 months, packing a free lunch. After the 420, we stacking the damn money. And so it goes if you're holding the drone. Break it out, blaze it up, then you hit and hold. With the KMK or the Cypress blend, you better twist those ends and go tell your friends.
Switching lanes back and forth off the strains of endo. Filling the gas, car full of weed smoke. Lay back smooth, let it put you in the mood. We the kings of the chronic, and this is how we do.
Riding High, Cottonmouth Kings featuring Be Real of Cypress Hill off the Cloud 9 album. We have links to it right up on our website and to Suburban Noise and Big B at normalaudiostash.com. You can also find them online at suburbannoiserecords.com. Stay tuned. We got a great mix of music, new and old, here on the Audio Stash coming up next.
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
Coming up next for you here today on the Audio Stash, boy, it's a big, great stash today. A stash to last all Thanksgiving weekend for sure, as you shop and bicycle off all of those calories out there. And again, as fine marijuana aids in digestion across America, we find a lot of great music up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance and podshow.com. I really do. And a fair amount of time looking around up there. And, of course, the artists that send in their tracks for consideration here on the program. So we got a little mix here today of some old and some new, some comedy and some music here today from both those sites. We're going to start things off. Man, was I psyched to find some Tom Waits up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. It's so great to be able to showcase some Tom Waits here on the podcast and be able to put it out there and have it be pod safe. Here's Tom Waits with a great song. How's it gonna end? I think that's what we're all asking about marijuana prohibition. We know it's gonna end. How it's going to end? Well, you know it's gonna end soon. And just how? That's what I thought when I heard this Tom Waits song.
$300, worn out car, the wife who was leaving for good. Life's made of trouble, worry, pain, and struggle. She wrote goodbye in the dust on the hood. We found a map of Missouri, lipstick on the glass. They must have left in the middle of the night. To know the same thing everyone wants to know. How's it gone to end? Behind a smoke-colored curtain, the girl disappeared. They found out that the ring was a fake. A tree born crooked will never grow straight. She sunk like a hammer into the lake. Long lost letter in the old leaky boat. Promises I never meant to keep. I want to know the same thing. I want to know how's it gone to end. Barney leaned over. The thoughts had dried their wings. The moon climbed up an empty sky. Sun sank down behind the tree on the hill. There's a killer and he's coming to ride. But maybe it's the father that lost the girl. It's hard to tell in this light.
Waits, How's It Gonna End? That is from the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. We have links to that album up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Now, coming up next today, we've got some comedy from podshow.com. We ran into both of these groups at podshow.com. They both created custom promos for Normal's Daily Audio Stash and the Normal News Podcast. So we're going to play some Peeper Radio Theater and Smart Bomb Radio today, and we're going to play their special Normal promos in a sort of thanks of comedy here today. Good stuff by both. Peeper Radio Theater with Robo Santa, and then Smart Bomb Radio with Mac versus Woman. That's coming up next.
Do you hate Xmas? I do. James Roquefort here for Peeper Brand Robotic Santas. Every year around this time, I receive bags and bags of coal, and where that has led to a rather profitable coal reseller business for me, I'd like, for once, to receive a present I actually want. With Peeper Brand Robotic Santas, you can program your very own Saint Nick to deliver anything on your wish list. Just switch him on, enter in your desired gift, and off he goes. In minutes, the robotic fat man will be back with whatever your heart desires. Ah, here he is now. Why have you brought me the corpse of spy novelist John le Carré? In fact, is he even dead yet? Oh, dear. Looks like I made the naughty list again. Well, Merry Xmas anyway, from Peeper Radio Theater. James Roquefort here from PeeperRadio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh well, now on with the show.
I'm a Mac.
And I'm a woman.
Okay, wait a second, what?
A woman. A hot, hot woman.
Okay, guys, this isn't apples to apples anymore.
Aw, are you scared?
No. Well, I've got video editing software.
I've got breasts. Enough said.
You could use me to record a podcast?
Soft, pillowy breasts.
Okay, that's not fair, because you just can't...
Watch. When they jump up and down, they bounce.
Come on, you can connect your iPod to me.
Oh, I didn't wear a bra today.
Okay, let's be fair here. These guys can get a Mac.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Fucking dorks.
Peeper Radio Theater with Robo Santa and their own promo. Then after that, we heard Smart Bomb Radio with Mac versus Woman. Many thanks to both Peeper Radio Theater and Smart Bomb Radio for creating those very cool promos here for the podcast. Everyone, have a very safe and fun holiday weekend out there as good marijuana aids digestion. We all think about the holidays. Consider an end-of-year or holiday donation to Normal this year. Just go to norml.org. Give as much as you can. Make sure you give the gift of marijuana reform to all of America this year. Again, everyone, have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new audio stash at 4:20 East Coast time.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. If you listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.